Welcome in to AWA Unleashed. It has finally happened. It has finally been unleashed, and it is the American Wrestling Association. I'm so excited to be a part of this project. You know, this is something that I feel the wrestling landscape has needed, the wrestling landscape has wanted. And when you talk about wrestling and the history of wrestling, there's only one place that I can go that I really start, because we can talk about the territory days and we can talk about, you know, what it is now. But when we go back, there's one very influential territory or promotion, and we all know about it, but what do we really know about it? Well, we are going to talk about the AWA and its meaning and its impact on the professional wrestling business. But in order to do that, my name's Chris Tubbs. I'm a fan. I'm an outsider, just like you guys. To really get the full scope of what the AWA is and was, you need to have people that experienced it. You need to have people that were involved in it. You need to have people that know about it, that research it. And that being said, there are two guys that I can think of that are the best suited for this. First of all, let's bring in Mick Karch and George Shire. Mick is the voice of Minnesota wrestling. He was an AWA announcer for many years. And George Shire, he is a foremost wrestling historian, knows a lot about the AWA. As a matter of fact, he's a big author when it comes to the AWA. Mick, George, thank you guys for being a part of this.
Chris, I am so excited about this. It's about time. You know, George and I, we know the impact of the AWA, and we know what it meant. We know how good it was, how great it was. I'm not sure that especially this generation of wrestling fans knows exactly what it was all about and how spectacular it was, what a great era it was. And I know when I first announced that we were going to be a part of this with you, the response was tremendous. It was basically the same thing. It's about time. We want to hear the stories about Vern and Nick Bockwinkel and, you know, the Kenny Jays and Scrap Iron Gadaskis of the world. So I'm very excited about this. George is as good as it gets when it comes to wrestling knowledge, names and dates and places. And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, if you're wrong about a wrestling date or a wrestling alias, he's going to tell you, and he's going to make absolutely no bones about it. But I'm just so excited to do this. You know, I stepped away kind of from the broadcasting end of it for a little while, but this was just a great opportunity. And can't wait to tell the behind the scenes stories about the boys and the women of the AWA.
Well, I echo everything Mick said, and I will tell you this. This is overdue. This is something that we've needed for a long time to actually hear the voices. And Mick, you're right. You know, history, AWA history specifically, is so darn important to me. I grew up with it. I lived it. I breathe it. I've told my family that I've gotten through life because I had pro wrestling as a crutch, as a drug that I was addicted to, that was safe, that I could rely on. And that was old school territorial AWA wrestling. And when I look at the history, you know, the thing is, the promoters, Wally Carbo and Vern Gagne and all of the AWA promoters in any territory, they want you to remember the history the way they want you to remember it, not necessarily the way it really happened. They don't remember who were their champions. They don't remember who held the belts. They don't know how they lost the belts. They created things on the run and did their promoting. And as a result, the history is, it's gone. So Mick and I, Chris, we welcome you to this. This is so exciting. We are going to share with fans not only the history, but we're going to share with you the stories from the wrestlers. We're going to, from time to time, we're going to have a guest on. This is going to be telling the AWA as our title says, unleashed, and it's going to be big, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I like about this, guys, is there are a lot of wrestling podcasts out there, and there are really good wrestling podcasts out there. I mean, no doubt about it. But as I'm going through things, I see that there's, you know, there's focus on the NWA, there's focus on the old WWWF, and I feel like when we go back, and a lot of the names that are familiar to wrestling fans today had a substantial hand in the AWA, and that was part of their formative years. And I know, George, especially for you being a historian of this, that if there are so many things out there that people get wrong, and it's important to try and really tell the history of it as it really happened, because we know in wrestling, you know, sometimes if, you know, especially back in those days, that if there was no TV or it wasn't documented, it never happened.
Well, and I want to say this, you know, when it comes to the history part of it, Chris, people always remember things that happened in their lives. They remember their first match. They remember certain matches. They remember certain wrestlers. But, you know, as time goes on, just like with our families and our own personal events, your memory gets fuzzy. Sometimes you don't always remember it the way it really happened, or something, you know, sometimes you interject two different incidences into one. With wrestling, especially the AWA, there are tons of sites out there that people can go to that can give you supposed title histories and different things, and they're not always correct. And it's usually somebody just taking information from some other site that they found, and they put it on there, and they, you know, it becomes real. And if that stuff is allowed to continue, hey, guess what? Before you know it, it becomes fact, even when it's wrong. So my part of this is I want to share with fans how it really happened, what really happened, who really did this, why someone didn't get a title, how someone did get a title and they didn't get recognized for it. You know, all different kinds of things. And Mick and I, we go way back, 50 years, for God's sakes, we've known each other. And we've done a lot of things together in this business, and we've done a lot of things separately. And we've worked together, and I think this is a perfect tag team. And adding you to the mix to be our driver here and keep this, as you said, the train on the track, this is exciting. This is going to be great. I hope everybody loves it as much as we're going to enjoy doing it.
You know, I got to jump in here to talk about George and the history of it. What's interesting about this, and I know George will back me up, Major League Baseball, Major League Football, basketball, whatever, they have their history. They got their history books. They got the facts, the names, the dates. They're all accurate. They watch everything really closely. George will attest to this. Wrestling is completely different. The promoters didn't care. I mean, their history is there, but hey, if we got a date wrong, if we got a name wrong, oh well, so be it. You know, if a newspaper promotion or advertisement misspelled a guy's name or whatever, they didn't care. They just kind of put it out there. And when we go back, either on the internet or, you know, scanning books or magazines or whatever, so much of that information, like George will say, wait a minute, that never happened. That guy never worked in that territory. So George will absolutely keep everybody on the straight and narrow when it comes to the names and the dates. And what I will hopefully add is not only from a fan perspective and going to those AWA All-Star Wrestling TV tapings at the Calhoun Beach Hotel every week for years and years, to the point where the wrestling office just did not want me there anymore. Between that and then the time that I had in the AWA, which unfortunately was kind of towards the end of the run. So I saw an AWA that was really kind of on its last legs. The wheels were kind of falling off the bus. So I got kind of a firsthand taste of how everybody was feeling at the time and how the tensions were and so on and so forth. So I think the two perspectives are really important. And another thing that I would say real quickly is back before the internet, it was all wrestling magazines and bulletins and newsletters. But for the national audience, it was the magazines. And so many of them were East Coast based that, especially in the 60s and the 70s, you would hear about the Bruno Sammartinos and Lou Thesz and whoever else. And then into the 80s, of course, it was Hulk Hogan and the WWF. And as great as the AWA was, and we knew how good it was almost like, you know, the stepchild. It didn't get the recognition that it deserved. And like you alluded to a little bit earlier on, Chris, it was the launching pad for so many guys who went on to national acclaim when WWF went national and cable TV came in. The AWA history, the lineage is just phenomenal, and I can't wait to start talking about it.
And for me, when I first started thinking about this project, you guys, and I'm a lifelong wrestling fan. Anybody that knows me knows that I grew up on it. I enjoy it. I love it. I'm unabashed. I feel like when wrestling is done right, it is the best performance art in the world, and nothing can touch it. And I will stand by that. I will absolutely, die on that hill. And I was thinking about the people that were involved that would know it best. And I knew about you, Mick. I knew about you, George. And I just cold calling. And I reached out to you just out of the blue, Mick. And then George, at my work, WCCO Radio here in Minneapolis, we were talking about Ed Asner, and you had chimed in on our text line about his movie, The Wrestler. And so I got connected with you. And then I started throwing around the idea, well, would you guys even be interested in this? Because I know that there are a lot of people out there that, they want to create different content. And again, I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do it right, because you guys know that I am all about, I want to do it right. I want to do the legacy of the AWA right. I want to do all the individuals right. And I wanted to make sure that I had the best people, and I reached out to the best people. And for me, I'm so thankful, because you guys, you can see on the screen right there, if you've got a question, head to Slick Mick Old School Wrestling and George Shire's Wrestling Time Machine on Facebook. Drop a question there, because this is going to be very interactive. Because I know you guys, there are a lot of questions that people have, probably just like me. And I think, I'm coming at it from a fan's perspective. I wasn't an insider. I'm not going to pretend to be one of those, smart marks, one of the people from the inside. I'm a fan. So there are things that I'm going to come at from a fan's perspective. And to have you guys involved, I have to tell you, honestly, it is just a huge thrill for me. So I want to thank you guys for taking the time out to do this.
I wanted to add to that, when you talk about the word insider and you use the word mark, there were fans back in the day, and this isn't knocking them or mocking them, but there were fans that, because they overheard something, they thought they were inside the business or they knew what was going on. Mick and I had a different background in that. First and foremost, to this very day, we're fans of the old school, and especially our own hometown AWA. But the bottom line was that I know from my own perspective, I was in a different way, in that I knew a lot of the wrestlers, and they knew that if I heard something or I knew something or I knew how an angle was going to go or I knew how a finish was going to happen, they knew that I wasn't going to be telling anyone. I kayfabed it along with them. And that was a trust that we earned. And that was a trust, and Mick will agree with this, that was a trust that not every fan was ever privileged to, because the wrestlers, they guarded this business, and the fans to them were nobody as far as except buying a ticket, and they appreciated it, but they weren't going to let on anything to you, and they didn't trust you. And so we were in kind of a unique situation where we had to work hard through the years, but we earned that trust. And that was something that I valued, and I still do today. And to have that friendship with the wrestlers and have them share stuff with you. And yes, even then, they kayfabed us too at times. I mean, we're going to be able to tell you stories through our different shows here. But this has been a lot of fun, and we're excited about this. And Chris, again, just welcome to this team, because we need you, buddy, and this is going to be good.
Well, Chris, we need you just to keep us apart. You know, exactly. Just to, you know, keep that separation.
We just play with each other.
Well, God, no, only one of you is going to get on the screen then. Only one of you is going to get on the screen. We're going to separate you guys, you know.
Well, perfect.
There's a story with that. They just don't like each other as well. So we've got a lot.
Chris, I just want to bring up one point to what George was saying about how the wrestlers protected the business, you know, fiercely, especially if you were a second generation wrestler like Nick Bockwinkel or Greg Gagne. I know we'll talk about this on another show somewhere down the line, but my history with Nick Bockwinkel goes back to 1971 as his fan club president. And we had a pretty good friendship going there for a long time, but I never, ever wanted to cross the line with Nick. I knew what I knew back in the day, whether it was going to be a finish or who was coming into the territory, whatever it might be, but I never pushed the envelope with him. And it wasn't until 1986, 1987-ish, when I actually started doing television broadcasting in the business, that Nick opened up to me. And he did it from his end. He let some information out and started talking to me very casually, very conversationally about something or an angle that was going on or whatever. But prior to that, I had never broached the subject with him because I knew better. And sometimes it drove me crazy because I wanted to say, hey, come on, Nick, I know that this guy's coming into the AWA and, you know, you're going to have this program. Tell me about it. But I didn't do it. I respected Nick. And I think that's how George and I, on the overall, earned the trust of the guys. You hung around forever. You didn't say anything you shouldn't say. If you knew something, you kept your mouth shut. You earned that trust.
Well, and it's the old thing there, Mick, and that's so true, because we got more out of them by not crossing that line, as you call it. We got more out of them by doing that. And to earn that trust, I mean, you and I were rehashing, and again, this will be something we'll talk about as we do our shows, but being able to go into the locker room with these guys and understanding how that locker room worked in the kayfabe era, it's a lot different today, guys. I mean, the business is different. And I always tell people, we can't compare yesterday and today because it's the proverbial apples to oranges. It's like comparing a 58 Buick to the Buick today, which is nothing. It doesn't look like a Buick. We hear that because they're different. And so we are in a different way going to share the way it was. We'll give you our perspectives. We'll give you our opinions. Trust me, opinions doesn't make you always right. And I will always clarify that with you. When I say it's my opinion, that's letting you know that I'm just sharing it. You take it for what it's worth. But when it's a fact, I'm going to give that to you. And I'm telling you, you can run to the bank with it, because fact is fact. And I can back those facts up with programs, with clippings, mm-hmm. with video, you name it. I can back it up. So I don't make this stuff as I go along. Like I swear some people type and make it up as they go along, you know, and I don't do that. And it's going to be fun. And Mick and I, we joke back and forth. Like I said, we've known each other 50 years now, and we've had a fun relationship. We're friends, but we can jab each other and we can dig each other. And when we're all done, we're still friends. But yet, it is what it is. We're friends forever.
Speak for yourself.
I knew you were going to say that.
All right, hold on. One solo layout. You know what? I'm going to put me on the screen because it's my turn to talk. So you guys need to. Oh, see, yeah. See, I'm trying to see. This is what I'm trying to do and separate you guys. I'm trying that's to feel my way around the moderator.
Hey, you're the master of disaster here. You run the show, buddy.
All right, go ahead.
I'm just going to say. You mentioned the word respect, and I feel like that's a word that I don't know if it's necessarily respecting the business by a lot of people, because we see that there are a lot of fans out there nowadays that they talk about, but all they do is criticize. They don't look at it for the entertainment value. They don't look at it and appreciate it and appreciate the performers, appreciate the wrestlers. And when you guys were talking about, you know, earning the trust of the wrestlers, and Mick, you mentioned, you know, earning the trust of Nick Bockwinkel and not wanting to overstep your bounds. Those are really the things that I want to get into here on this program. And for those that are, you know, looking at the video, you can see this is where we're available on a lot of different podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts or iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Google Podcast, Amazon, iHeart. Just search AWA Unleashed. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review as well, because as we're going along, guys, one thing that I'm really looking forward to is getting the input from fans, getting the input from, you know, people that want to know about it, because you guys said that, you know, on your Facebook pages, again, Slick Mick Old School Wrestling, you can see it right there, and George Shire's Wrestling Time, a Time Machine. So many people want to know, and this is an interactive podcast that we're going to be answering questions as we go along, and because people want to know, and I feel like it's important to let the listeners know as well that this is just as much about them being a part of this and wanting to get clarity on it as it is telling the stories.
Well, Chris, I think it's just tremendous what you just said. And initially, when I first started talking about this on my Facebook page, on the Slick Mick page, I put it out there. I said, if there's any fans who have questions, what would you like addressed on the podcast, any wrestlers that you want us to talk about, any matches, any incidents? And I got a slew of really terrific questions, kind of all across the board. And it was so gratifying that people are genuinely interested in this, in the history of the AWA. I think the AWA fan base, especially the old school fan base, has been salivating for something like this, for a podcast like this. And George and I know we're going to be open and honest. I mean, if a wrestler was not exactly what he purported to be on television and you ask about it, I'm going to tell you. I will let you know who the alleged baby faces were behind the scenes. Maybe they weren't such a great guy, and vice versa. We'll have some Wally Carbo stories, and oh my God, I mean, they're right there. You could write a book and a half. Wally was Wally. George will attest to that, but it's going to be really interesting. And for a lot of years, even behind the broadcast table, I kind of towed the fine line. I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence, but by the same token, I want to be open and upfront about what happened back in the day, back in the era, because otherwise, if we don't talk about it, nobody's going to talk about it. Because George and I were just kind of commiserating the other day, not a lot of us left, which is sad to say. I mean, Father Time waits for nobody. You know, when I think that I did Saturday Night at Ringside, you know, 32, 33 years ago, it just blows my mind. So there's a handful of us left who experienced it. There's even a handful of wrestlers left who were there that are still alive, unfortunately. But that's what we want to celebrate, is the old days, the old timers, the veterans, when wrestling was wrestling.
You know, I'd like to add to that that, you know, when you watch a Sunday afternoon football game, we all heard the term armchair quarterbacking. No matter what game it is, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, there's always people that when they get done watching it, the fans, they have a million ways that the coach should have done something, that the play should have been made differently, and why didn't this guy do that, and he should have did this, and they could have done this. And that's the way it is with old school wrestling. When fans... And AWA is a big target because when the expansion era started in 1984, with Vince McMahon Jr. starting to do the expansion, he stole, whatever you want to call it, from the AWA, because we had a talent roster and we had the one guy he wanted the most, which was going to make it the easiest for him to work this. At that point, it was an experiment to see if he could go national with pay-per-view and cable and everything. But there are a million fans out there that will criticize They will knock. They will come up with their own why Vern Gagne failed, or why the AWA isn't around, or why this or that happened. If he'd have done this or he'd have done that. How come he put the title on this guy and he didn't put it on this guy? And that's easy to do. That's armchair quarterbacking. But the bottom line is this. Mick and I, and especially me on the history side of it, I'm going to tell you why some of those things didn't happen. And when you're the promoter in the heat of the battle at that exact moment, why a decision was made. And was it the best decision? You know what they say about hindsight is 20/20. Every single one of us as human beings, we will tell you, if I knew what I know now and I could have done it differently, I may have done that. Or I wished I'd have done it this way. But in the heat of the battle, we've all made decisions. And that's what life is. And that's what the AWA was and going through during that expansion era. And the previous years, all the different things they did, there were good decisions, there were bad decisions. We'll share those with you. And I'll give you not only opinion, but I'll give you a fact and I'll give you a perspective as to why they happened the way they happened. And you take it from there. But it's an exciting sport. And the AWA was back in the day, and I've said this before, any wrestler of any note over the course of the 30-year history of the AWA, and if you want to even go back a little bit to the NWA era in the 50s of the Minneapolis office, which is what the AWA was and run from, any wrestler of any merit wanted to and did come through the AWA, and they wanted to be here. You could only have 10 or 12 or 15 guys, 20 guys at a time on your roster. So it's impossible to have all of this talent, but everybody made it through here. And they said they wanted to go to Minneapolis. They wanted to be part of it. And it was a great promotion. So we're going to share all that stuff with you.
Yeah. And some of the, you guys, you know, just kind of to piggyback off of what you're talking about, George, you know, we're going to do some long form on, you know, I know Nick Bockwinkle, a lot of people wanted to know about him, the Hennigs, you know, Vernon Greg Gagne, just so many different individuals that came through. And then also, like you were talking about, you know, the events, you know, the, you know, I know people were talking about the Wrestle Rock and all the super, super clashes and the Team Challenge Series and how important the, and the old St. Paul Civic Center. So, I mean, there's a whole gamut, the good, the bad, and the in-between. And that's what I think is going to be cool, because it's not just going to be focusing on individuals or event. It's going to be a mixture of everything. And again, it's going to be interactive. And, you know, head to the Facebook pages or on Twitter at AWA Unleashed and let us know what you want to hear.
You know, I would say that when you talk about the Wrestle Rocks and the Spectaculars, the pay-per-views, the Super Clashes, you name it, if every single card was a spectacular and the best of the best there ever was, well, that isn't true. It was a lot of the cards in between all of these bigger cards that made and told the story as to why you were sitting at a Super Clash. Or even back in the day when you had two guys that were going at it for, you know, 3-4 months in the territory, and you get to that blow-off match and you have this big card and you load it with some extra talent. That was as big of a spectacular as a Super Clash or a Wrestle Rock or whatever it might be. But it's the story that leads up to it. And we want to share with you too, how these guys worked together, how they told their story. The greatest perspective of all is that any wrestling feud, any program between two guys or tag teams, if you want to look at it that way, the promoter would always look 6 months, 8 months down the road at the finish, where they wanted it to end up. But to get there, they had to go through this series of matches with disqualifications, with interference, with the referee being knocked down, with the supposed title not changing, and so on and so forth. And eventually, when you get to that finish that they had planned for April or May or whenever it was, the cage match. This is it, boys and girls. This is for real. They're going to finish this once and for all. But they had to start at the beginning. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. Some of those beginning matches and all that led up to it were what were, they were more spectacular than the actual finish in a lot of cases.
Well, that being said, I think we pretty much hit everything. And it's funny.
Everything except Pat O'Connor.
I just want to say this. You hit everything. So now I would close with this. Run, don't walk, to get your subscription to AWA Unleashed.
I tried lighting the fire, and he didn't bite.
No, he didn't.
I'd rather talk about Speedy Lorenz or somebody than Pat O'Connor. We'll get to him.
It's going to be great. I just can't wait to get going on this, and I can guarantee the fans, once we get rolling and you hear some of these stories, not only are you going to be kind of emotional, longing for the old days, or if you're a new school fan, you're just getting your education into what was going on in wrestling back in the golden age. But some of the personal stories about the guys behind the scenes, man, I am telling you, you will stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a good ride.
Let me give it to you this way, Chris.
Yes, yes.
And Nick, you end the program by doing it the way they used to do it. Remember, fans, there's none genuine without Vern Gagne's picture and signature on the label. Jarrah Speed by Vern Gagne.
Oh, my God. Jarrah Speed.
I was wondering where you went. I'm like, George just got up and left. I'm like, oh, my God, is that what I think it is?
And, you know, I want to tell you something. This is a legitimate bottle of Jarrah Speed. Unopened. And I only shudder to think what would happen if I had ingested any of these after 60 years here, because it'd be probably subject to being put under gamma rays. But this is the real deal.
You know what? I think that's a great idea, George. I think for the next podcast, on camera, let's have you ingest those 62-year-old vitamins and see what happens. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to move really close to the camera. Because I want to watch this.
Hold on, I'm going to bring you up here, George. Fans without Vern Gagne's picture.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I love it. Well, hey, guys, I know we were only going to go like 10 to 15 minutes. We've already hit a half hour, and this is great. Because this is what it's going to be about. I love it. I'm just as excited as you guys are. And again, you can catch us on all the podcast platforms. If you're looking at the video, that there, Apple Podcast, or iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Google, Amazon, iHeart, and more. Just search AWA Unleashed. Subscribe, because that way you will get these to your device of choice the minute that it's released. And our first episode, I don't even know what the topic's going to be, you guys, but we've got a litany of topics. I don't have any idea what it's going to be. It's going to drop after the first of the year. If you've got any ideas, if you guys have anything you want to add, again, go to Slick Mick Old School Wrestling and George Shire's Wrestling Time Machine. Those are places, if you want to talk about the old AWA with like-minded old school fans, or you got a question, suggestion, and I mean, we're going to have trivia as well, guys. I mean, we're going to have like giveaways and all that sort of stuff. So, I'm excited.
I think the thing to remember is that we're going to have an agenda, but bottom line is we're going to run with it spontaneously too. Yeah. Much like the old wrestling interviews where we're going to know the topic and we're going to run with it. And what we say sometimes, we're going to have some humor in there, as you can already see, and it won't be planned. But I think that's going to make for the best AWA show out there. And everybody's going to learn something and you're going to enjoy it. Thanks.
All right, George, Mick, that being said, let's shut it down. And our first debut episode is going to be just after the first of the year. Again, be listening, be watching. Again, Apple Podcast, iTunes, Spotify, it's all right there. Pandora, Google, Amazon, iHeart. I literally could not have set this up in any more places. And Facebook, cool. You're Facebook fella or gal, great. Slick Mick, Old School Wrestling, George Shire's Wrestling Time Machine on Facebook. If you're more into the Twitter machine, look us up, AWA Unleashed on Twitter. Boys, let's have some fun. What do you say?
Absolutely.
We'll see you next week.